good to have Brother Mullins here today out of our church, sent from our church, growing up here. Thank the Lord for him. And we're looking forward to hearing him come and minister to us. Brother Levi, God bless you.
Thank you. If you have the Word of God with you this morning, please turn with me in your Bibles to Joshua chapter number 1. Joshua chapter number 1. And we'll take our reading from this portion of Scripture. I do thank the Lord for the opportunity to be able to stand here at this pulpit, and I rejoice and praise God for this opportunity. I thank the Lord for what God did in my heart as a teenage lad here in this place, and praise God and for the gospel that is going forth in this place and continuing to go forth. And may we continue to pray that God would help us to carry on to the next generation the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may the Lord challenge us in each way in this. Joshua chapter number 1, we'll look here and we'll read just a few verses here together. We'll begin reading in verse number 12. I apologize if I didn't pronounce something just right in these verses, but we'll do our best to hear from the Word of God here. And to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to the half-tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commands you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren, armed all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord have given you your brethren rest, as he hath given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession, and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side of Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against the commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. May the Lord honor and bless the reading of his word. May we take a moment to pray here together this morning. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the opportunity we have to gather here in thy house. We come together to worship thee. We come together to turn our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ and look full in his wonderful face. Lord, we have heard this morning already what it is to dwell in Beulah land. And Lord, and I pray that thou wilt help us as Christians here this day, that we would find our place dwelling in Beulah land in this life in which we live as we pass through this world that's passing away, going on to eternal land to be forever with our Savior. Lord, we pray that thou wilt challenge us in this. But Lord, we pray for those that might be here this morning that might be without Christ. And I pray that thy Spirit would speak to their hearts this morning, and Lord, that they would come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ before it's eternally too late. Lord, speak to our hearts, Lord, we ask. May we be not only Spirit-filled hearers, but Lord, may we be doers of the Word as well. Help us now and guide us, and may you be lifted up and glorified in all that is said and done. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Here we find in Joshua chapter number 1, probably one of my most favorite books in the Bible. They're all good, and they're all the Word of God, amen? And we praise the Lord for every last word, every jot and tittle of the Word of God. And we come here to Joshua chapter number 1, though, and we see the beginning of a time in Israel's life and where they are going back into the land of promise. You can imagine the excitement that was in the people of Israel, and finally Joshua leading God's people back into this land. They're just on the other side of Jordan and getting ready to cross over Jordan, and the stories that we know that are found here and how God parted the waters again and Jericho was won and many different battles that God gave them in the land of Canaan. And may we be reminded that Canaan oftentimes can be misrepresented oftentimes in the things that we say and do, but it is a good picture to think of heaven and things of that nature. But really we find here in the Word of God that Canaan is a place of victorious living that God intended for a Christian's life. Canaan represents the land of milk and honey. Last time I checked, I don't think we'll be fighting battles in heaven. But I'm thankful that God is able to give the victory in the battles that we fight here today. Old Testament series of history that we find here from Genesis up until now, and we see the turmoil that Israel has gone through and God's people in many different ways, and there they are in the bondage of Egypt in sin. And you might be here this morning and you say, I feel like there's some things that have got me chained down in this world. The fact is let's make it simple, it's sin. And you need Jesus Christ to free you from that sin. And that's exactly what happened to Israel when God delivered them from the bondage of Egypt. And he sent them out and God gave them salvation as they came to that Red Sea. And there it is, Moses says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And those waters parted back. We praise God for that great salvation that God has provided to each of us as the Lord Jesus Christ hung upon the tree, died and was buried and rose again, that we might have salvation from sin. But then we come to a time in their life where they came to the wilderness and they spied out the land that God had promised them. And there was many amongst that doubted. 10 were bad and 2 were good, right? And we understand that this was an opportunity to trust and obey God. Oh, how many times in our own lives have we been brought to a point where we must trust and obey the Lord, and yet we have doubted what God is able to do, and we've wondered in our life. Maybe God has brought you to a place here this morning where you've been wondering a bit in the wilderness. God desires to bring us to Canaan land, a land of victorious living. God did not design the Christian life to be lived in defeat. He designed the Christian life to be lived in victory. And just as God's promises came here in Joshua chapter number 1, he says, every place the sole of thy foot shall tread upon, I give it to you. God has sent them forth with the promise, and he has sent us forth into this world with the promises of God. And may God help us and encourage us to bring us to a place from wondering in our life to being willing to trust God and serve him. Are you living daily for the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm not saying, does your life represent what a Christian should be? Are you living daily following the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you reading your Bible? Are you praying every day? Are you living daily for Christ? Where does it begin? Well, it began for Joshua in Joshua chapter number 1 with a bit of remembering of the past. A bit of remembering of the past. Let's see here in verse number 12, the Bible says, and to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, thy servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Oh, may the Lord help us this morning to remember the God of the past. The promises of God that God brings. Verse number 2 and 3 of the Bible says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. God has given each and every one of us the promises of God. We hold in our hands from Genesis to Revelation God's holy promises, and they will never fail. They will never fail. And so why would we trust in anything else in this world when we have the eternal Word of God brought to each of us this morning? We have the promises of God. And the Bible says in verse number 6 of the same chapter, be strong and of a good courage. Don't wane when people say, well, I'm just not sure if it's all true. Be strong and of a good courage that God is faithful and his promises are true. Oh, the Bible says, for unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance of the land which I swear unto their fathers and give to them. God swears unto us his promises, and they will never fail. They will never fail. Do we, when remembering the past, do we forget the promises of God? May we also understand that in remembering the past, may we notice the presence of God. Verse number 5, the Bible says, there was not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to recognize the God of the past. You know, God's given Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church a special heritage. It's unique. 1779. That church is older than even the church that I labor in England, and it's an old church. It was built in 1850. And the fact is there's a great heritage here. God's given us a great heritage of preachers in times past. It's always exciting when I can share that God started this church through a man named Tyden Slane, who was saved under Shubal Stearns, who was saved under George Whitfield, who came from England. We have a great heritage, and we should teach our children our heritage, and we should point out about our forefathers that founded this country and how they said one nation under God. Under God. And we should remind our children of what God has done in the past, and remember the past, and may they not forget it, what God has done. Oh, the silliness that we hear this day of, well, they'll just grow up and just let them learn as they figure it out. No, that's exactly what Israel did time and time again. We saw throughout the Old Testament, it was from idols back to God to idols back to God. Is that what we want for our generation of people? No, may we remember the past. And may we recognize the presence of God and what God has done in the past. We sit in pews that were not built by man. They were built by God. We sit in a place that God provided. We drive into a car park that God paved. Oh, may we remember that the things that we have are simply provided by God Almighty. Oh, may we remember the presence of God and what He is able to do. Oh, there's encouragements in Scripture that we would remember the former days after which you were illuminated. And maybe there's many times in your life where you might think, remember when I was stirred up about what, when God saved my soul and when I was changed and when I knew my sin was forgiven? Well, where are those days? Where are the days of desire to be a witness wherever you go, to make sure you've got that track in your pocket? Oh, I'm convicted. Oh, to make sure that we are doing what we can to pray for others, be a witness, giving of our time to the Lord. Oh, God was clearly known to be with us maybe in those days. Do you remember them? Oh, may we be challenged to remember the past. If we're going to live victorious in this Canaan land, as we march through and as pilgrims heading to a better land, if we're going to do that, we're going to have to remember and not forget the great blessings of what God has done in the past. But may we also see that we should live in the present. Verse number 7, the Bible says, "Only be strong, thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." Living in the present. There's a great temptation in England. Oftentimes you meet different folks who have held on. And what a gracious and lovely people who have held on through the years when churches have died, been sold, bulldozed, and torn down from a nation that really was completely given to the gospel and for the glory of God. But the fact is there's many times we can live our lives just holding on to what it used to be and how it used to go and all those type of things. But there's an opportunity that God gives each and every one of us to live in the present. We might say oftentimes, and you get around, and it's interesting. I've been able to visit different ones over the past week and a half, and you start talking about things that used to happen. All of us have done it. We sit around and we get to chatting. Oh, if we could go back to those days and talk about, well, you remember when it was like this, and you remember when these things happened? Oh, that was so lovely. And it's great to remember the past, but God has given us a present to live now. Oh, how those obeyed God then. Well, what about now? What about obeying God today with our lives? You know, the Bible says here that Joshua here, he says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou may observe to remember." No, observe to do. To do. God has given us something to do today. It's not about just living in the past. Yes, we should remember the past, respect the past, honor God in the past and what God has done. But God has given us a now to live. And every breath that we have, every movement that we make should be given to do what God has given us to do. Oh, it requires a personal obedience. The Bible says in verse number 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise. The God of Moses must become our God. The fact was, is Joshua could not live on the shoulders and on the back of Moses. He was dead. He was gone. And the fact is we can't live in the past thinking that, what has God given us to do now? God has put us in a place where we can each take steps of faith to follow Him. We're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We were never following anything in this world. We're following Christ. Are you following Christ this morning? Or are you following the world? It's sad to hear. You hear all kinds of things and stories. People go here and there, never find a home church. Never part of a church, never get ingrained in a church, because they're searching for something other than Jesus Christ. What are you searching for this morning? May we live in the present. It requires a personal obedience to live in the present. Well, my daddy, he's a preacher. Oh, well, what about you? What about you? No matter your age here this morning, what about you? What is your personal, what is my personal obedience to God? It requires uncompromising obedience. We can all get distracted, can't we? It's easy to get distracted in this old world. So many things around us, the possessions that are so easily available, it can easily get distracted. But the Bible says here in verse number 7, turn not it from the right hand or to the left. Keep our eyes. It requires an uncompromising obedience. And when things get difficult, when the battles come, isn't it the truth? Those are the times that we oftentimes make the decision to go left and right, isn't it? Well, there's a log in the road. Well, we better just not go that way. Instead of allowing God to deal with what's in our path and taking us through and keeping our eyes on Him. Oh, may the Lord help us to have uncompromising obedience in living in the present time. Oh, it requires daily obedience. Verse number 8, the Bible says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Oh, it requires daily obedience to live in the present. But it also requires faithful obedience. The Bible says in verse number 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Oh, we cannot allow discouragement or struggle to get us down. May we allow God, who as we keep our eyes on Him, who it's all about anyways. And may the Lord encourage us to live in this present time. God's brought each of us here for this moment. We all say it, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. So why do we live for yesterday? Oh, may the Lord help us to live for the now, for the glory of God, living in the present, that we might live daily in obedience to God. Oh, may the Lord encourage us to live in the present. We also see here, may we also notice, we must trust God for the future. We must trust God for the future. You think about what was ahead of Joshua and the people of Israel. Jericho was not a small city. It was a city that chariots could race across the tops. And I could only imagine as they were looking across the river, they're seeing this giant walled city over there. And here they are in their tents. They've been walking around for years. How in the world are we ever going to take that place? How in the world is that ever going to happen? How is God going to be able to deliver from that situation? Oh, but may we see we must trust God for the future. Oh, as we look ahead, we can get a bit nervous. We can start to wring our hands and All of us have been guilty of that, haven't we? We just worry a bit about things and can become very concerned. It's not just the ladies that do it. The men do it too. We all show it a little bit different, but the fact is we all begin to wring our hands in some way, and we get worried about what's going ahead, what's going to happen to our country, what's going to happen to this, and what's going to happen to that. But we must trust God for the future. The Bible says in verse number 12, as we look here, let's remember, as we read a moment ago, it requires the right priorities. And as they remembered the word in verse number 13, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, "The Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you, but on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren, armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also hath possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them." You know, this land requires the right priorities if we're going to live victoriously. They had to understand that when they crossed that river, they didn't stop until it was done. They didn't stop until it was over. They didn't stop until the land was conquered. We don't get rest until the job is done. And may the Lord encourage us this day that it requires the right priorities in our life. Oh, it seems more and more that we set up bigger stakes in this old world. We set up bigger foundations in this world. We set up bigger things that hold us to this world. But may the Lord move us to the right priorities in our life and realize that there's not a time to rest in the sense of, well, it's pretty good around here. We got most of the pews filled. Think of the thousands that are lost. I'm not talking around the world, in our own town. Think of the thousands that are without Christ in your workplace. If we're concerned about the unsaved people in our workplace, in our neighbors, in our country, then why aren't we going out to get them? And may the Lord encourage us to trust God for the future. May we have the right priorities. You know, it's easier said than done, isn't it? It really is. But we have to have the right attitude about it, and it requires a full surrender. It's amazing to see the attitude of these in Israel as they came to Joshua. They were moving on. Joshua is now God's leader, leading in the place. And the Bible says here in verse number 16, "And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses." Can you imagine that attitude? If everyone to say before God, "Wherever you want to send me, Lord, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Well, even if I need to clean the toilets, or if I need to stand up here, or if wherever it needs to be, whatever it is, Lord, I'm going to do it. Because I'm not here for me, I'm here for you." Oh, may the Lord help us to see that it requires a full surrender of whatever, whenever, and wherever. Oh, we cannot set our requirements upon God. God sets his requirements upon us. And may we be challenged to not forget that our surrender is Godward, and we fall on our knees to him and asking him to trust God for the future. The future here is in his hands. It's in his hands. It never was in anyone else's. It's in God's. This is his work. I praise God for that. That's why I don't have to worry one moment about it. Because it all belongs to him. Every last stitch, it belongs to God. Do you belong to God? Have you had full surrender in your life? When's the last time at your age that you just fell on your knees and you said, God, I want to renew and refresh. It's all yours. No matter where you send me, I'm going to go. No matter what you tell me to do, I'm going to do it. No matter what you tell me to say, I'm going to say it. No matter what you tell me to give, I'm going to give it. It doesn't matter, Lord. It's all yours. When's the last time? Oftentimes our pride gets in the way of this, doesn't it? And we see this happen to Joshua and the people of Israel later on in the Old Testament, where possessions in the land got really important. And they took them for themselves. Oh, may the Lord renew us afresh to surrender all to Him. And may the Lord help us in this way. Let's see one last thing here. Verse number 18. Whosoever... He that doth rebel against the commandment and will not hearken unto thy words, and all that thou commandest him, he will be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. You know, this verse is pretty intense, if you really think about it. Now, I don't think if anyone's in disagreement, we should take him out and stone him. And I don't think that's what needs to happen here. But I think we see the seriousness of what it means to live for Christ. It's not just a hobby. We're not a part of a club. We're a part of the body of Christ. And may this forever be a place that has come together in a seriousness to worship God and to march out these doors unto the ends of the earth with the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has given us a task, and it requires God's people to live in daily obedience, in full surrender, living in the present, not sucking our thumbs in the past, but looking to Christ who is able and can and will and do. He's coming again, and even so, Lord, come quickly. And may the Lord encourage us to live each and every day with the thought in our heart that the Lord might be coming today, so all of I have is His. Because I'm living daily to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you living daily to follow God with your life? God is trying to bring us from a place of wondering to a place of being willing. Willing to trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Living the Christian life was never intended to be complicated because He takes care of all the work. And may the Lord help us each to be challenged this day to conquer Canaan and live daily for Christ Jesus. Let's bow our head in word of prayer. As Mr. Stevens comes, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou will please take this time, and I pray that You would take Thy word and do what I cannot do and speak to the hearts of each one in here, including myself. And may we be willing to say yes to Thee and whatever You would say. In Jesus' name.